Good evening. Thank you so much for joining us again tonight for our time of ministry in the Word of God and our Bible study. Oh, hallelujah. Our God is so good. He's so awesome. He's so amazing. We could never thank Him enough for all that He continues to do in all of our lives. I trust that you and your loved ones are doing well. I'm so thankful. I'm so excited tonight to get together around the Word of God again with the saints. Hallelujah. Indeed, my heart is inditing a good matter. Hallelujah. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. For several weeks and months, we have been studying on our Wednesday Bible studies the concept of the believer's authority, spiritual authority and dominion. And we've taken different aspects of this so powerful, so illuminating, so revelatory. Glory to God. And I trust that you have been a part of some of these previous teachings. If you've missed some, they're there online. Please go back there, listen. This is what the Lord is helping us do after we lay the foundation, was to be able to build building block upon building block, lay on that foundation that has already been laid. Hallelujah. And as we build on that foundation, there are different places that we have different aspects of these teachings that we have visited. And last week was especially good because we really started to put the light on what I describe as total life freedom. So many human beings, many of them don't even realize it. And so many believers, unfortunately, under bondage, carrying yokes, trapped in captivity, don't know how to break free. They know the promise of abundant life is real. It's true that the Lord gave to us. In John chapter 10, verse 10, Jesus said, "The thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy." He said, "But I am come that they may have life and that they may have life more abundantly." Well, most believers know that the promise of abundant life is real. It's true. It's authentic. But it's so far-fetched from many of them, from many of their experiences. How do I walk in that abundant life when I feel so trapped, when I feel under bondage? Bondage by fear, bondage by anxiety, a lot of other vices, some habits that I can't break free from, some cyclical pattern of sin or failure that maybe sometimes is even linked to my bloodline. And I'm a child of God, and I know the promises of God are real. I know I have an inheritance in Christ Jesus. But how come I'm not able to enter into that inheritance? Why is it that there's so much turmoil in my life, so much uncertainty, and I can't seem to break free? Well, praise God, a lot of that we started to address in the area of spiritual authority and dominion last week, talking specifically about total life freedom. And I'm going to continue in that. Just put a little bit more light and maybe get a little deeper, just to trust God to give us some further illumination. And I trust God that wherever we get to tonight, when we stop by God's grace, when we come back next week, we're going to go a bit further into the practical aspects of actually exercising or receiving freedom, actually obtaining total life freedom that the Lord promised us. Glory be to God. I'm so thankful. And again, I thank you tonight for joining us. Would you bow your heads and let's share a word of prayer together. Father, in the name of Jesus, here we are again tonight in your presence. We're so thankful for the opportunity to gather around the word. The Bible says in Acts chapter 20, verse 32, Paul was speaking to the Ephesian Christians, and he said unto them, "I commend you to God and to the word of his grace that is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance amongst them that are sanctified." Father, that is our expectation tonight, that as we come around the word the word of grace, Lord, that we will be built up, everyone, myself, who's the vessel that you are using to teach this word, and everyone that is with us in real time, or those that would listen to this afterwards, Lord, that we will be built up by the word. We would lay hold on our inheritance. These things that have been promised us, these precious gifts that you have freely given unto us through Christ Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, Lord, that we will be able to walk in the fullness of those blessings and those gifts. We thank you for that tonight. I give you praise, Father God, for thinking through my mind and speaking through my vocal cords. Thank you, Lord, for granting me utterance, unique unction from the Holy Spirit, illumination. Thank you, Father, for my brothers and sisters and how you give us understanding hearts, understanding minds. I give you all the glory and the praise. Holy Spirit, we welcome you. Have your way in this teaching service tonight, in this Bible study. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you so much again for joining us tonight. What a privilege it is to always get together around the Word of God with the saints. Let's dive right in. I don't have a lot of time for revision tonight. I've got to cover some ground and trust God that the Lord will help us do that. You know, these have been our foundational scriptures for this section of our series of studies, Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 27. In the easy-to-read version, it says, "Don't give the devil a way to defeat you." Yes, you have spiritual authority. Yes, we have dominion as children of God. The same dominion that Jesus gave to the apostles, we have that authority. He said in Luke chapter 10, verse 19, "Behold, I give unto you power over every power of the enemy." And that word there is exousia. The word is authority over every power of the enemy. And he says, you tread on serpents, you tread on scorpions, and nothing will by any means hurt you. So we have authority. However, we've been talking a lot lately about being protected. Because how about having authority? We have access to God's authority, but then Satan attacks us and then he gets the advantage over us. And there's that scripture we read in Matthew chapter 12, verse 29. We've read that a few times now in some of our past studies, where Jesus said, you can't go into the house of a strong man without first of all binding that strong man and then entering into his territory and taking what belongs to him. And that's what Satan seeks to do. Satan seeks to bind believers. He seeks to, even though we are supposed to be stronger, we have authority in Jesus by the help of the Holy Spirit, but Satan wants to take advantage of us. And you know, in 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 11, the Bible says we are not ignorant of his devices. We are not ignorant of the devices of the devil. We're not ignorant of his schemes, of his strategies, and of all of his all his plans and what he seeks to accomplish. And in 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 3, Paul said, I fear lest as the serpent beguiled Eve, you also should be deceived, right? Telling us as believers to make sure that we are on alert, we are on our guard, so that Satan doesn't take advantage of us. Hallelujah. Well, don't give the devil a way to defeat you. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 27. And last week was really good because we took some time to talk about some of the ways, the doors, in addition to introducing total life freedom, we talked about some of the doors through which Satan can access the lives of believers. Some of these doors are vulnerabilities that believers have, right? Some of them are personality traits. Some of them are things, habits. They are not necessarily sin, right? So the categories of doors, and tonight, in previous lessons, previous teachings and Bible studies, we have looked very closely at some of these doors that are not necessarily sins, like, you know, in Hebrews chapter 12, from verse 1, where the Bible says that we should lay aside every weight, right, that doth easily beset us, right, and we should look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, so that we can run this race, so we can run this race and arrive at our destination. So there are certain things that they can become sin, but they are not necessarily sin. Sometimes they are personality traits. Sometimes they are just vulnerabilities that we overlook. They are habits. We've made excuses. We've allowed ourselves to engage in for a long time, and they have now become a part of us, a part of the way we do things. But they are not necessarily God's best for us. They are not necessarily God's will for us. They may not necessarily be strictly sin, right? They may not necessarily be strictly sinful, but they are weights. They weigh us down. And because they weigh us down, we can't really access the best of what God has for us. And Satan takes advantage of some of those vulnerabilities to hurt us. So that's a level of doors, right? Weaknesses, personality traits, vulnerabilities, weights and things that we practice, habits. They are not necessarily sin. Sometimes believers even get into arguments and, is this sin? No, the Bible doesn't say that's a sin. Well, yes, maybe it's not specifically spelled out in the Word of God as a sin. But if in our hearts we know it's not God's best, but we make excuses for ourselves to practice those things, eventually those things become doors in our lives. That's vulnerabilities, personality traits and weaknesses and things like that. Then there's the category of personal sins. These are actually spelled out as sins in the Word of God. And we know, and we're going to read at least one major scripture in the Old Testament about that tonight, or a couple of those scriptures, actually. We know that those are sins. We know that those are things that enslave us. We know those are things that entrap us. They are things that are not pleasing to God. And you remember one time, it was David who, you know, he was praying. I believe that was in Psalm 50. I'm not going to read that tonight because we don't have the time. But David was praying that prayer, Lord, don't take your Holy Spirit away from me. Don't take your Holy Spirit away from me. Renew a right spirit within me and restore to me the joy of your salvation. And that was a prayer he prayed because he had been engaged in personal sin. And that personal sin had opened him up to being oppressed by the devil. Of course, certainly God judged that sin in his life. But the big thing you can see as he was repenting before the Lord and yielding his heart back to God was he was saying, Lord, don't take your Holy Spirit away from me. Because when the Holy Spirit stops operating in our lives, satanic spirits, demonic spirits, unclean spirits will come in and oppress us. And that's a great source of demonization. It's a great source of being trapped by the enemy. Hallelujah. So he prayed that prayer, Lord, don't take your Holy Spirit away from me. So we are going to read at least a couple of scriptures. I'm trying to look through my notes because I think I'm missing something, a particular reference that I had prepared ahead of this service that I was supposed to actually read. Okay, there it is. I see it now. All right. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I give you praise. So we've talked about vulnerabilities being doors, and now we've talked about personal sins being doors as well. Now, personal sins open us up to the enemy. And then there's things like the occult, you know, involvement in the occult, or some of these things that people sometimes practice, consulting with mediums, witchcraft, all of this terribly demonic stuff that opens people up. There are also a few other things. I'm not really focusing on that in any of our teachings, just because those are real, those happen, but I believe most believers who join our Bible studies know that it's not healthy, spiritually healthy, for you to participate in things like that. So I'm not going to give that much time. However, there are people who maybe have been involved with stuff like that years before they actually came into Christ, or years before they knew what they were doing as believers. And those strongholds have been built as a result of those doors, and now they need to be set free. There are also sometimes doors that can be present in our lives just by virtue of some of the things we expose ourselves to. There are certain kinds of movies and music that if we expose ourselves to repeatedly, actually become doors in our lives. Well, we're approaching Halloween season, right? And I know there's a lot of debate about Halloween. Is it right? Is it wrong? Should we participate? Should we do that? But just keep in mind, anything that sets up idolatry, anything that sets up any kind of spiritual symbolisms above the God, the one true God that we serve, is called idolatry. And idolatry is an open door. You're going to see one of those scriptures as we go on today. Idolatry is an open door to the devil. So some of these things that people practice sometimes, and they don't necessarily know the spiritual significance of those things, but a lot of them actually open people up to demonic influences. Certain horror movies, right? That are actually, cooked with deep spiritual influences and spiritual ingredients can open up people to demonization, things that sow the seeds of fear in a very strong, consistent, and frequent way in the lives of people. Those can open people up. Fear, worry, anxiety, depression, all those things can become fruits that are born out of just watching certain things or listening to certain other things. Remember, these things work with spirits. Spirits are carried by some of these things, and I'm not trying to spook you, but this is spiritual reality, and it is extremely important. Some of the people are children, young people. Many people are not really aware of, they don't understand spiritual stuff, and it is our job to help them, right? Protect them. Like, we just never participate in all the Halloween stuff. It's just not new for us. It's just something we've never, ever participated in, never allowed our children when they were young to be a part of it, because of a lot of these realities that we're talking about. Sometimes children participate in some things without knowing. Children are exposed to certain things, and those things become doors in their lives through which Satan torments them as they grow older. Some of those things that create fear and torment and all of that, Satan now finds those as doors. And as those people grow up, young people grow up, those doors get bigger, and Satan exerts a lot of undue control in their lives. So that's that, but I'm not really talking a lot about that. So we'll talk about just doors that are vulnerabilities, doors of vulnerabilities, personal weaknesses, personality traits, and things like that, weight, doors of personal sins. Then there's the doors of ancestral sin. I'm going to read a couple of scriptures about those tonight. Somebody said, Pastor, why are you going through all of this? It's a little deeper than I've done, talking about some of these things before. But I'm doing that just so that we have a clearer understanding and a greater perspective and context for this concept of spiritual authority and dominion and total life freedom, so we can understand why certain things happen to certain individuals, certain things happen to certain people, to certain families, how some of these things are perpetuated by the work of the enemy in our lives. So I just want us to have a greater insight into that. And total life freedom, as we begin to look at that, to see the way that God has already made for our freedom. This is part of what Jesus paid the price for. Hallelujah. You remember in Luke chapter 4 and verse 18, when the Lord Jesus stood up in the temple to read the scriptures in Luke chapter 4, verse 18. This is what he said. He said here, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. He has sent me to preach deliverance to the captives. He has sent me to preach recovering of sight to the blind. He has sent me to set at liberty them that are bruised." Hallelujah. Now, you see, there's different categories of what the anointing of the Holy Spirit did through the life and ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, he wasn't just anointed to do those things just for the sake of it. If those things did not exist, those things existed in his days. You know, you read the Gospels, you see a lot of people that were set free. And I believe towards the end of our service tonight, I would actually read the story of that woman. The Bible called her a daughter of, Jesus called her a daughter of Abraham in Luke chapter 13. But this woman was bound, right? This is one of the people Jesus came. Now, there were so many people, right, in his time that were in these different categories. They were either under captivity, they needed to be set free, they were in bondage, they were blind spiritually or blind physically, they needed recovery of sight, they were poor spiritually or they were poor financially, they needed the message, the gospel of prosperity, or they were bruised, they had been crushed, they were brokenhearted, emotionally devastated through situations that have happened in their lives, and Satan has held them in bondage as a result of it. He was sent to heal the brokenhearted. He was set to set at liberty those that are bruised, those that are in, those that have gone through calamity, those that are the Amplified uses the words, those that are crushed, downtrodden, bruised, crushed, broken down by calamity. He said, I came to set them, at liberty, to deliver those who are oppressed. Deliver those who are oppressed. I like that. Let's actually read this from the Amplified, Luke chapter 4, verse 18, before I move on here. "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because he has anointed me, the anointed one, the Messiah, to preach the good news, the gospel, to the poor. He has sent me to announce release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to send forth as delivered those who are oppressed, who are downtrodden, bruised, crushed, and broken down by calamity, to proclaim the accepted and acceptable year of the Lord, the day when salvation and the free favors of God profusely abound." All these people that were carrying all these yokes and bondages and dealing with all these situations and wounds and injuries and pain and all these forces operating in the lives of people. All these people existed in Jesus' day. And the anointing of the Holy Spirit upon his life was given to him to help him bring release and to bring deliverance and to bring relief to all of those people. Well, guess what? All those people exist in our days today, right? Jesus is not here physically, but the Holy Spirit is still here. The same anointing of the Holy Spirit that was upon Jesus that helped him exercise dominion and authority over all these different categories of situations, that Holy Spirit is still here with us. That anointing is still here with us. Well, why would that anointing be here if there were no people in all these different categories who could be helped by that anointing? You and I know the world is full of people. In fact, you and I know many people inside the church, outside the church, in our families, in other people's families, in people we knew when we were growing up, people we know when we're older. We know many people that are in all these bondages, right? And that anointing of the Holy Spirit, the authority that we have been given, is supposed to help set those people free. Hallelujah. And we ourselves first, need to be set at liberty if we are carrying yokes and we're carrying bondages and things like that. All right, let's take a few minutes. Let's go and read this story about the king, King Saul, in 1 Samuel chapter 16. This man, we'll read that in 1 Samuel chapter 16, and then we're going to read a couple of verses in 1 Samuel chapter 16, tie them together, try to see why Satan had so much liberty to operate in the life of this king. This was a king anointed by God. This was a king who even prophesied. And people say, wow, I didn't know Saul was amongst the prophets. This was a king that God used. God himself appointed this man. And yet this man fell and his life disintegrated to the point where he had no relationship with God. He became open. The Holy Spirit left him and he became open to demonic spirits that influenced him. And then he needed to be set free. And even when sometimes he got help in being in those spirits being driven out, as soon as the vessel, David, that God used to bring some relief to him, as soon as he left or stopped playing his music and went away, those things came right back. Because Satan sees that as, that's my home. Remember, we read that scripture last week, if you were with us, in Matthew chapter 12, right from verse 43, where Satan said, you know, the Bible, Jesus was talking about when an unclean spirit is driven out of a life, a man or a woman, he goes through dry places looking for a place to and if a home, another home. He doesn't find any, then he comes right back to that same person that he was driven out of. But this time when he comes in there and he sees the place is just swept, clean, garnished, but it's not full of the word, it's not full of the presence of God, it's not full of a new relationship with God and all of that. Well, then he goes and brings seven more wicked spirits than himself. And they now enter into that individual. And Jesus said the latter state of that man or woman is worse than when he started. And you understand why we talked a little bit about that last week. So that's what we saw with Saul. And he just kept getting worse. Just kept deteriorating his spiritual state until you know how he was towards the end of his life. He was consulting with familiar spirits. He was going to a witchcraft, a witch. And a medium telling them to conjure up the spirit of Prophet Samuel, who had long died, right? And he was into the occult and all of this demonic spirit. Satan camped out in his family and generational curses were birthed as a result of that. But let's read in 1 Samuel chapter 16 before our time is gone tonight. 1 Samuel chapter 16, let's read from verse 14. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Somebody say with me, I'm free in the name of Jesus. I have total life freedom through the Lord Jesus Christ and through the word of God and through the anointing of the Holy Spirit. That is so powerful. We're declaring that in faith. You might be one of the people. You might be in a situation where you need to break some yokes. You need to dislodge some things, whether through your own personal sins or through ancestral yokes or sins and things, generational curses and tendencies, trends that you have observed. Yeah, we will do that. We will do that as we go along, right? The Lord will help us do it. It's a supernatural exercise, but he'll help us do it very easily. Right? We will do that. But as a measure of our faith, let's just declare it right now. We are free. I'm free in the name of Jesus. I'm free from every bondage. I'm free from every stronghold. I'm free from every captivity because of the anointing of the Holy Spirit, because of the word of God, because of the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's read 1 Samuel chapter 16. Let's read from verse 14. Verse 14, but the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. Now, I don't have the time to really explain this too much. I don't want to talk too much about it, but if you are a student of the Bible, and some of you have done our school of ministry, you've heard some of these things explained. But it is very important to keep in mind, in the Old Testament, when the writers of the Bible talked about an evil spirit from God, God doesn't have any evil spirit. There's no evil spirit before God in heaven that God will send to somebody on the earth, right? But it was their way of saying when the Holy Spirit leaves someone, that person's life becomes exposed, and an evil spirit can come in and take over that person. When God removes his hands of protection, demonic spirits gain access to a life, right? When God removes his shield, sometimes there are lying spirits, sometimes there are evil spirits, sometimes there are ancestral spirits and things that gain access to the lives of God's people or human beings on the earth generally, because they strayed away from God, and now they are exposed and Satan just jumps on them. Even in the New Testament, you know, remember we've talked about people like Judas, we've talked about, you know, some of these stories. Essentially, that's what happened in that life, because Judas received the anointing. He received the same authority that the other believers had, right? But at some point, he exposed himself. At some point, he didn't protect his heart. He didn't protect, you know, he wasn't defended. He wasn't protected. He became exposed. He became vulnerable. Satan saw his door. Satan went in through that door. And slowly and repeatedly, Satan eventually took control of that area of his life in his relationship with money. And that ultimately became what was his destruction. Hallelujah. So that's a simple explanation. God doesn't have any evil spirit. But when God takes off his hand of protection, when the Holy Spirit leaves a human being, a vessel, that person becomes exposed. And Satan sends his demonic spirit to trap that person. Why did the Holy Spirit leave? When 1 Samuel chapter 16 and verse 14 and 15, 14, let's just go one chapter back. Let's go back one chapter and let's look at 1 Samuel. Let's look at 1 Samuel chapter 15 and verses 22. This is, listen to, you know, because of Saul's disobedience and rebellion, look at what the prophet Samuel said to him. This was the open door in his life, a personal sin that then gave Satan access. And that access, that door got bigger and bigger and bigger because he didn't stop that personal sin. He didn't repent. He didn't turn around. That door eventually became the access that Satan needed to come into his life and to take hold. A stronghold was built there. When Satan takes hold and then a man or a woman is trapped and they can't break free, we say they are under a stronghold, right? And that's what happened to this man. If you look right there in 1 Samuel chapter 15 and verse 22, and Samuel said, "Has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams." Verse 23, watch this now. "For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft." Think about that. Rebellion. Anywhere it shows up. If it shows up in a believer, if it shows up in an unbeliever, if it shows up in a preacher, if it shows up in a pastor, if it shows up in a prophet, if it shows up in a king, if it shows up in a politician, rebellion, anywhere it shows up, the Bible says it is the sin. It is as the sin of witchcraft. Verse 23, "Rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft and stubbornness." Same thing, wherever it shows up, whether the person is born again, they are not born again, whether they are whatever, a dignitary, preacher, or whatever they are, prophet. Stubbornness, the Bible says, is as iniquity and idolatry. Stubbornness. All these are personal sins that give access to Satan. It's almost like when people practice stuff like this, it's almost like they are inviting the devil to, and they are saying to him, "Come and camp out in my life. Come, come. I've prepared a room for you. Come, let's party together." Right? That's really, even though I'm making it light, seriously, that is exactly what it is. Is that when these vices and these things and are present, personal sins are present in people's lives, whether they're believers or unbelievers, right? It's an open invitation to Satan. And then that sin, those sins become, those doors become strongholds. Because Satan has now, he has mastered that place. He now calls it my home. And then he comes out there and then takes over the generational line. Right? So that the things that are observed, the judgment that are observed on this person who opened the door to this sin does not stop with that person. Actually carries generation after generation after generation. And people are born generations long after the original perpetrator of the sin. And they are still under the judgment. Until or unless total life freedom is executed in those lives by the anointing of the Holy Spirit. By the anointing of the Holy Spirit and by the Word of God. Hallelujah. And that is truly a sad situation. But look at it right here. He said in verse 23, rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has also rejected you from being king. And when the Lord rejected him, the anointing that was placed upon his life at the time that he was appointed a king, that anointing was removed. The Holy Spirit couldn't find room anymore, couldn't find access. And the Holy Spirit stepped aside. And when that happened, Satan went in there and just took over that life completely. Until strongholds developed, evil spirits camped out in there, and then that person eventually ended up in destruction. Let's go back to 1 Samuel chapter 16, where the Bible tells us about this evil spirit that came into Saul when the Holy Spirit departed. Let's go back, 1 Samuel chapter 16 and verse 14. But the spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. I've explained that already. Verse 15. And Saul's servants said unto him, behold now, an evil spirit from God troubled thee. It's not an evil spirit from God, but that's the limited understanding that they had. An evil spirit, they could tell an evil spirit was troubling him. Right, now, I talked about this earlier. Let me just, for 1 minute, just clarify this. When there is a bondage in a life, when there is a stronghold in a life, when there's captivity, spiritual yokes, and all of those things, you will see certain things. There will be certain evidences in those lives. Or in those families. You will see a paper trail. Thank you, Holy Spirit. That's what it is. You will see a paper trail. There will be certain things you will observe in the life of that individual or in the lives of people in that family or generation after generation in such families where you will see that thing, that evidence recurring. So Saul's servants, they saw that. They saw the evidence. I've described some of this before. If you were not with us last week, you need to go back and listen to last week's teaching, Bible study, because I took some time to actually describe in some fine detail some of the things that we see, some of the things that people experience that are evidentiary of the presence of demonic influences in those lives. That are evidence of yokes, evidence of strongholds, evidence of bondages. We see those things in those lives. It's very clear. Hallelujah. And so they said, an evil spirit is troubling you. They said, let our Lord, our King, now command thy servants, which are before you, to seek out a man who is a cunning player on a harp. They're talking about how to set him free now. From the influence of these demonic spirits. Let's seek out a man who is a cunning player on a harp, and it shall come to pass, when the evil spirit from God is upon thee, that this man will play with his hand, and you will be well. That demonic spirit, the influence, will back off of your life. the stranglehold, the stronghold of that yoke will be taken off of your life when that person is playing under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. See, that's some exercise of freedom. Unfortunately, in this case, as it is in many cases, it is not total life freedom. It is temporary life freedom. What God has for you and for me is total life freedom. Not because Satan stops trying to attack us, not because Satan stops trying to take advantage of our doors and our vulnerabilities, not because Satan stops trying to use personal sin to lure us to walk away from God, our relationship with God, or from the Holy Spirit. Not because he will ever stop. He will never stop. Remember, even in the temptation of Jesus, after Jesus said, it is written, after the third time, the Bible says he left him for a season. Satan will never stop. He will never stop. And because he will never stop, you and I must never let down our guard. We must continually be sober, be vigilant. Like he says in 1 Peter chapter 5 from in verse 8, we must be sober and be vigilant because our adversary, as a roaring lion, he goes around seeking whom he may devour. Whom the Bible says, whom resist steadfast in the faith. Resist steadfast. And like the Amplifier says, at his onset, at the beginning, you stop him right there. You keep your door shut. Because just like that, and like we've read, don't give Satan a way to defeat you. Some translations say, don't give him place. Don't give him a room. Don't open the door. Right? Like we've said for several months now, in some of the messages we've taught, keep that serpent out of your garden. That's up to you and it's up to me. Glory to God. So this man did get some temporary relief, but it was not total life freedom. Because Satan never did let go completely. They will live for a while under the influence of the anointing, when the presence of the anointing of the Holy Spirit is there, because a psalmist, David, was playing music under that unction of the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And so those demonic spirits will live for a while. But as soon as David is gone and he stopped playing the music under the anointing, the demonic spirits come right back. They don't need anybody to phone them or text them or email them and tell them, all clear, come back. No, they know because they're always hanging around. And every time Saul will get some relief, but as soon as David is gone or he stopped playing, you know, those demonic spirits will come back. He's right back to where he started from. Let's read this to the end so I can move on to something else. Our time is almost gone here tonight. Hallelujah. Verse 17. And Saul said unto his servants, provide me now a man that can play well and bring him to me. Then answered one of the servants and said, behold, I have seen a son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite, that is cunning in playing and a mighty valiant man, and a man of war and prudent in matters, and a comely person, and the Lord is with him. That's really the key. The Lord is with him. He's anointed. And in this New Testament, he's anointed, she's anointed, and she's walking in dominion and authority, and they know their place, and they are well-versed in the exercise of dominion and authority. Such a person can set another person free. Such a person can bring deliverance to the captives, like Jesus did in his ministry. Hallelujah. And Saul said unto his servants, we have read that in verse 17, the servant said, we found David in verse 18, a son of Jesse, he's anointed, the Lord is with him. And verse 19, therefore Saul sent messengers unto Jesse and said, send me David your son, who is with the sheep. And Jesse took an ass laden with bread and a bottle of wine and a kid and sent them by David his son unto Saul. And David came to Saul and stood before him, and he loved him greatly, and he became his armor bearer. And Saul sent to Jesse, saying, let David, I pray thee, stand before me, for he has found favor in my sight. Verse 23. And it came to pass, when the evil spirit from God, I told you it's not from God, was upon Saul, that David took a harp
and played with his hand. So Saul was refreshed and was well, and the evil spirit departed from him.
So temporary relief. When the anointed servant of God starts to minister, this man, because it was his will to find help in that moment, when the anointed vessel of God starts to minister, this man gets help. Right? The Bible says he feels refreshed. Right? It's almost like for a minute he repents of his foolishness, of his sinfulness, his personal sin. And it's almost like for a minute he's lucid, he's clear in his mind. And he wants that freedom. And he is free for a minute. But as soon as that is done, David is gone or he stopped playing, he goes right back to his old ways and the evil spirits come back again. This man was never totally set free, right? You see, the Bible says he was refreshed. When David started to play, he was refreshed. Now, you know what the Bible says in Acts chapter 3, verse 19? Talking about the Holy Spirit, the ministry, one of the great ministries of the Holy Spirit in the life of a believer that accompanies genuine repentance. Genuine repentance. When someone repents genuinely from personal sin, no matter what the yokes, no matter what the bondage, no matter when they repent genuinely from personal sin, and they come under the influence of the Holy Spirit, an anointed vessel of God, that opens the door for the Holy Spirit to bring a refreshing. Look at that real quickly in Acts chapter 3, verse 19. Look at it. He says there, "Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord." Whenever there's genuine repentance, whenever there's genuine heartfelt turnaround, commitment to open up our lives to God, to turn away from sin, to renounce evil, no matter what the works of darkness or the works of the devil that may have operated in those lives, in our lives prior to that, the Holy Spirit gains access. He comes back in and brings a refreshing. You can see this happened with Saul. The problem is, he never remained in that state of repentance and godliness. Once he got free and he experienced some refreshing, over time he goes back. And of course, you know this. The rest of this story, you can read it, I'm sure, if you are interested. But you know, one of the days when David was there playing the harp, jealousy. See, remember, this started with rebellion. It started with stubbornness, which the Bible says is like idolatry. Rebellion, which is like witchcraft, opened the door and satanic spirits came, tormented this man. Well, because when he turned to God and this vessel, anointed vessel, played and ministered to him, because that's a form of ministering to him, he'll repent and get a refreshing from the Holy Spirit. But he didn't stay in that state of godliness. He kept going back to his foolishness, his stubbornness, his rebellion. But then, because he didn't stay free, remember that story that Jesus told in Matthew 12, 43? That evil spirit is driven out, but because the word of God doesn't occupy this vessel, the Holy Spirit doesn't have a resting place in this vessel, those evil spirits, when they go, they look for a resting place, they find none. They go find seven demonic spirits more wicked than themselves. And they all come back and occupy this man or this woman, and the latter state of that person is worse. Now, you see that happening actually right here. Because eventually what we see with Saul is jealousy. In addition to rebellion and stubbornness, jealousy and murder and lying and deception and so many other evil vices came back and took over him. You know, one of those days while David was doing his thing, this man took a javelin. So now that anointing was not enough anymore to drive out the evil spirit. Because of his will, the decision Saul made to not get established in godliness. Now, David is still playing, but that spirit of jealousy came upon him and he threw a javelin at him trying to kill him. Hallelujah. He didn't ever have total life freedom. Well, total life freedom is God's will for you and for me. See, that's how personal sin opens the door. And eventually that personal sin becomes a major stronghold and Satan camps out there. And sometimes that can become a generational issue, right? I want to show you a couple of scriptures here talking about generational or ancestral sin. Let's look at this real quickly. Our time is gone. I've got to stop in just a couple of minutes here. But I'd like to do that before I close it out tonight, and the Lord will help us to pick it up from here next week. Let's look at a couple of scriptures. Let's look at Jeremiah chapter 31. Talking about ancestral sin. Remember, ancestral sin is always a product of personal sin. Jeremiah chapter 31. And let's read there from verse 27. Jeremiah chapter 31. Glory to God. Jeremiah chapter 31, and let's read there from verse 27. Let's make this confession of faith one more time. In the name of Jesus, I walk in total life freedom because of the anointing of the Holy Spirit, because of the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ at Calvary, and because of the Word of God. I walk in total life freedom. I'm free. I'm free from every yoke. I'm free from every bondage. I'm free from every shackle in the name of Jesus. Amen. Let's read in Jeremiah chapter 31. Let's read from verse 27 to verse 31. Let's read here. Jeremiah chapter 31. He says, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will sow the house of Israel and the house of Judah with the seed of man and with the seed of beast. And it shall come to pass that like as I have watched over them to pluck up and to break down and to throw down and to destroy and to afflict, so will I watch over them to build and to plant, saith the Lord." He's talking about when redemption, when release, when restoration happens, right? But then look at the next verse, verse 29. It says, "In those days they will say no more, the fathers have eaten a sour grape, and the children's teeth are set on edge." In the day of redemption, God is saying, I will break the stranglehold of generational curses, generational yokes. Right? We're going to read this further next week because I see that I can't get as far as I thought I would get tonight. But you see, it says this, "In those days," verse 29, "they shall say no more, the fathers have eaten a sour grape and the children's teeth are set on edge." What does that mean? It was the fathers who ate the sour grapes, but it was the children who also paid the price for it. Those are ancestral yokes. Those are generational yokes. Look at the next verse, verse 30. "But everyone shall die for his own iniquity. Every man that eateth the sour grape, his own teeth shall be set on edge." Then he goes on in verse 31 to talk about the new covenant. "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah.
not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was a husband unto them, saith the Lord. But this shall be the covenant, verse 33, that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward part and write it in their heart, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach more. You know, this is repeated in Hebrews chapter 8. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. Hallelujah. See, personal sin translated into ancestral, generational sin. Ancestral sin that then became generational curses. Right? The fathers ate sour grapes, but the children's teeth were set on edge. And of course, you know, in Exodus chapter 20, you know, where the Lord said, I will visit the iniquity. Now, we'll have to come back to all of this next week. Thank you, Lord. We got to close tonight. Right? But in Exodus chapter 20, let's look at verses 5 and 6. Exodus chapter 20 and verses 5 and 6. Look at what it says right here. Like God said, I'm going to judge the sin of the father to the third and fourth generation. Look at it. Exodus chapter 20, verses 5 and 6. Verse 5 says, thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, talking about idolatry and the gods of the people, the gods, the strange gods that will be in the land that the children of Israel will be in after they left from captivity in Egypt, right? It says, thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. Verse 6, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Hallelujah. We got to stop right here tonight. But you see how personal sin through someone who plays a major role in a family can open doors and grant access to Satan, not only in that individual's life, but also in the lives of those that are coming behind him in his family, coming behind her in her family. And you can see Satan perpetuating and certain evils from generation to generation. But thank God we have total life freedom. Jesus said, I came to set the captives free, to set at liberty them that are bruised. Father, we thank you so much for tonight. We give you praise. We bless and magnify your holy name. Thank you for filling us with your word, feeding us with manna from heaven. Thank you for granting us great grace and understanding. We bless you today. Father, receive all the glory. Receive all the praise. You alone deserve it. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. Thank you so much, saints, for being with us tonight. Our time is up. We gotta go. But I look forward to seeing you same time next week. God bless you. Good night.